Doch. We are in Pevis of Vavis Shara Bitochen, Herek Dalin. We're in the middle of discussing the where Bitochen applies in our social life, in our interactions with other people. Okay, so the Pevis of Vavis, as he often does, is kind of stepping back and just beginning to lay out in a general way. After discussing the person who lives more as a loner, now he's discussing the person who lives among others, part of a family, spouse, surrounded by relatives, friends, etc. A person who lives with others in his life. So he started by saying that the general attitude of a person who's living with others is, first of all, Bitachon applies, number one, in that Hashem is going to control how these people affect my life. But in terms of my role toward them, so this we discussed last week, he said basically the attitude of a person who lives around other people is, I'm going to put it into the terms we put it last week, can I be simply a conduit of Hashem's goodness to these other people? My agenda in my life with other people in it is to simply be spreading Hashem's good in all different kinds of ways. Discussed this last week. And I'll just, one of the women here mentioned afterwards, taking what we've been discussing a step further, how this can be the hashkafa in all the give and take in life. Meaning, I may be in a position of, let's say, a person who is a pharmacist, okay? So, of course, why are you a pharmacist? Pharmacist, because that's my parnasa. But to make a little bit of a mind shift and say, as a pharmacist, certainly I have to be making money because I need to support myself, I need to support my family. But my role as a pharmacist now is to see how much chesed I can bring to others in terms of providing them with the medicine they need, et cetera, and to have that kind of attitude. A customer comes in, of course I have to be paid, but right now my focus is how can I ensure that this person gets the best possible experience, the best possible care, et cetera. And this is how it is with all different professions. It's what we're calling the mindset of a giver, the mindset of a giver. So now, we move on, and we also added, again, just summing up what we discussed last week, we added that part of spreading Hashem's good is also helping people with their ruchnius, instructing where instruction is needed, correcting where correction is needed, but of course, in the right way, from a perspective of, I love this person, I want things to be good for them, then the corrections will be expressed differently than it's just coming from a critical place. But that is also, to move into that hashkafa, that helping people with the ruchnius is part of chesed. It's part of chesed. Fine, and now we move on. So we're in, again, we're in Perek, in Shara Bitochen Perek Dalid, in the middle of the paragraph that starts V'emiya Abiteach. So after we actually stopped the mid-sentence last week, probably do that again this week. Just have to wonder if I'll actually make it finish the sentence we began last week, but let's see. So now he adds, when he says, when you are going to be moving yourself into this reality of simply trying to spread kindness, spread assistance, to spread support, he gives a few stipulations. Don't do it because you're hoping for reciprocation. Don't do it because you want to set up a situation where now they owe you one. Don't do it because, no, they don't have to pay me back, but I want everyone to recognize me as the great benefactor, as the person who's, I enjoy the recognition, I enjoy the praise. Let me start. And also don't do it because you want to feel on top of other people. These could all be different motivations. A person might take care of people simply because he enjoys the feeling of power. Rather, he's doing it because this is what Hashem wants of me, which we'll get a little bit more perspective on momentarily. I just want to note, that what this means is, you know, so let's say a person says, you know what, I do do it because I want people to think I'm a nice guy. So should I drop the chesed? We always have the rule with Torah mitzvahs that mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Meaning, the idea should be like this. I want to do it because this is what Hashem wants of me. I also enjoy the recognition that I get, and that is a motivation. So the way we'd say that is, don't let it stop there. That's a shame. If it just begins and ends with the motivation, do it because you want the recognition. But think to yourself, you know what? It's a good thing that I want that recognition because Amais, it's getting me to a great place. It's making me a servant of Hashem. Think of it in those terms. I mean, for a person to just say, do it absolutely altruistically, you can do that. It's great. But we always want to approach all these things from the place of where I am today. How can I get to that? And therefore, we say, use the shaloi lishma for the means of getting to lishma. Meaning, kind of say, yes, I enjoy the recognition. It's a good thing I do because that's ultimately going to get me to a place of true avodas Hashem. And that's why, for example, you know, otherwise, why would there ever be room for, let's say, a plaque, right? Why would a philanthropist's name ever be publicized? Well, we encourage it. We encourage it because, on the contrary, these are kosher means of getting a person to do great things. But again, as long as it doesn't begin and end there, it should move to the broader perspective of I'm turning myself into a partner with Hashem Kiviyachol. I'm making myself similar to Hashem Kiviyachol. As a child, I'm going to resemble my father by being in his family business Kiviyachol. He's busy spreading goodness and I'm doing along with him, so to speak, Kiviyachol. And now he adds another point, which is a couple of words that are worth noting. Ufkudav aleihem. There's actually a responsibility toward them, meaning Hashem puts you into different people's life because he wants you. You are one of his means of getting his good to them. If it's family, so Hashem says, putting children in your life, and I want them to have a certain level of warmth in their life, and I'm putting you in position to give them my warmth. I'm going to convey it through you. And you know what? If it's a neighbor, or as we discussed last week, if it's the person sitting at the desk at the cashier in the makolet, so there, no, you're not going to assume that you were put into that cashier's life in order to provide her with all the emotional support she needs. But Hashem might say you are a certain how would we say? An added, we'll talk in terms of the cake, okay? So you might be some of the sprinkles on the cake. Meaning, yeah, I actually put her in your vicinity so that you can add another ingredient of pleasantness into her life. And this is the way to think about all the different people that we come into contact with. There are the people who we occupy bigger places in their life. There are the people we occupy smaller places in their life. But the attitude is, why might Hashem might have put me into this person's life? Think of it in these terms also, if you have in terms of an employer with employees, a teacher with students, all these situations, right? Person, an employer with employees, this we discussed earlier, maybe it's going to come up again, I don't remember, but an employer with employees, to think to yourself, wow, what is chusid is, Hashem is going to be supporting these 10 people. I have 10 employees. Hashem is going to be supporting these 10 people. And he's telling me, I want you to be, I'm putting you into their lives. I want to support them. Therefore, I'm putting you into their lives. Wow, what a great schus. I'm actually Hashem's means of supporting these people. To think of it in those terms. And to think that, yes, I want to be as loyal a representative as I can in terms of not only supporting them, but doing it with all of the chesed that Hashem's kindness would come with, in terms of the attitude, in terms of the feeling, etc. Fine. So now he says, if a person is being kind to others, caring for others, with his agenda being, as we're saying, the sole agenda being one of the other things we've been talking about. He's doing it solely because he wants the recognition. Solely because, yes, he wants them to owe him something. He wants to be able to cash in on it afterwards, etc. He says, first of all, you'll never be satisfied. You're just setting yourself up for disappointment. Because you're never going to get exactly what you want out of them. That's number one. And also, it's also a shame that then you're turning it from a mitzvah into a personal selfish endeavor. If we don't use the word selfish, let's not use that word. But a personal endeavor. So this is not, it's not chesed. If a person is not thinking at all, like you said before, if you have your own personal selfish feelings involved, but the bigger picture is, you know, I appreciate these feelings because I want to be doing this chesed, I want to be doing this mitzvah, fine. But if it completely begins and ends with, ooh, I'm going to invest in this person because I see one day he's going to be the president of the company and it'll be a good idea if I have stocks with him. It's not chesed at all. So that would be a shame. The person will probably be disappointed. Good chance it'll be disappointed in this world and ends up with nothing in the next world. So these are just things to think about in the family context. In the family context, to think about how everything that we're busy doing for the people in our lives, to think of it in these terms, that I am doing it as a representative of Hashem. I am doing it because, kiviyachol, Hashem wants me in his family business. We discussed this the other week. Hashem has a great chesed business, and he said, you're my child. You're my child. I want you to be involved with me in my business. And therefore, I have this chus of being Hashem's representative toward my children, toward my spouse, toward whoever else it is in my life, to be bringing Hashem's goodness to them. Question.
If you send a certain amount of money and you have these children or boys, whoever, that you are in charge of, so how do you know how much money is supposed to go to them and how much money you can retain? In other words, you know, should you be downsizing your place in order to give more to the children? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, or even in the same thing in the business, like, how do you know how much is allocated for them and how much is allocated to you?
Right.
Out of that line.
The $1 million question. The question is, if you're taking this attitude, this is the question. The question is, if you're taking this attitude, okay, I am here as a giver. And my attitude is that, you know, whatever I'm getting here is because I need to be able to get the money, to get the care in order to be able to do for others. So where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? So I'm not going to be able to tell you precisely the amount of dollars, obviously, right? But it's again, what we can do is talk in terms of broad strokes. Rav Hirsch says something very interesting. He talks about, this is, okay, another tangent. It's one of the areas that I star in. Tangents is my specialty. But you know what? I think it's a worthwhile tangent. Rav Hirsch talks about the structure of the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash. How did we get to there? Okay, we'll see. Well, let's talk about the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash. Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash was the table where the Lechem HaPanim was piled up on. The Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash represented material prosperity. That was the source of material, meaning that the Shechina funneled through the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash and brought Siyata Dishmaya, brought Shechina in all kinds of areas out to Eretz Yisrael. So, for example, through the Menorah, there came a special influx of Chachma, divine Chachma, people. Special Siyata Dishmaya and Chachma. The Shulchan but a special siyata d'shmaya of material prosperity. And therefore, the Shulchan served as the symbol of material prosperity in Eretz Yisrael, among the Jewish people. So Rav Hirsch says, look how the Shulchan was set up. He says something very, very interesting. He says, how are the... There were two piles of lechem apanim. There were 12 loaves of lechem apanim, right? There was piled in two piles of six. It says that they were piled one on top of the other with sticks in between to provide a little bit of space. Because what happens if you take fresh bread, pile up a whole bunch of hot loaves out of the oven, one on top of the other? They get soggy, they set down, they get moldy, etc., right? So what do you need to do? You see this, you go to the bakeries, right? You see this, you probably have at home one of those raised trivets, right? That holds it off. So there should be air in between the bottom and the table. So what do you need to do? You need to provide air, yes. One is leaning on the other, but we're sticking in like these rods in between so that there's air in between, lets the air in, and they don't disintegrate. So he said, this is the picture of how Jewish society is supposed to work. Meaning what? The bottom loaf wants to be holding the other five on it. It wants to be supporting, assisting, etc. Right? And then there's the next one that wants to be supporting the four on top of it. Now, if you just pile it straight on top of me without that stick in between, I'm going to collapse and the whole system is going to collapse. So I have to stick these sticks in between and make sure that I have the space I need, the air I need in order to be able to remain healthy, functioning, right? And then, now that that air is there, I have the air I need. And now I'm in position to really hold up all those other five loads. So Rav Hirsch says, this is the idea of rights. We don't believe in, right, like the Mishnah says, like, says that, or if everything just belongs to everybody and nobody has their own personal rights, everything just ends up collapsing. I have to have myself taken care of in a basic way in order to be able, and I have to have my rights protecting me, providing me with that airspace in between. Then, for the purpose of what? So that if I'm solidly established, if I'm well-based, then I can go ahead and support those on top of me. But if I'm not going to have that space in between, the whole system is just going to collapse. So this is going, there's two directions here. I need those rights in order to be able to do it. But the rights are not an end in themselves. It's not like, these are my rights, that's all, right? The rights are a means of putting you in position to be able to support. So this is the starting point is, you need to make sure that you are in position to be able to continue comfortably functioning. Beyond that, you would like to be doing as much as you can for people. You like to be doing. Now, where exactly do you draw the line? Very hard to give precise parameters, but a couple of things to bear in mind is that what Chazal already said, that if you have a person who wants to be very generous, we say not to give away more than a fifth of your income. Every person is supposed to expect it to give away, right, a tenth of the income. Miserous person might want to give more, we say up to a fifth. Don't give more than a fifth because we don't want you, with all of your goodwill, ending up collapsing and then everybody else has to support you. So we draw certain lines. By the way, the Chafetz Chaim talks about, you have a person who has billions of dollars in the bank and he has a regular income coming in, it's fine, he can give away more than a fifth. But it means a person who, in a general way, is living off what he makes, but he would like to be as generous as he can, we say set it up in a way that you're not going to end up collapsing under the load. So this is the rule. We would also add another thing that we saw in the Chavis of this earlier, is the understanding that if you were put into position to care for these people, if they were placed on you, give them what they need comfortably. Don't skimp on their needs, because actually, let's say if we're talking in terms of money, just because that's the easiest way of quantifying these things, the extra money that you have, part of it is actually earmarked for them. You don't see it, but there's a divine stamp on it. This is shaykh to that person. This is shaykh to that person. So don't skimp on their needs. Don't skimp on their needs.
But then, you do that.
Right. And then there's the in-between stage. Okay, they have what they need. I have what I need. Now, where should I draw the line between just giving as much as I can to them That is already individual. That's already individual. But the bottom line is, yeah, if you can afford it, don't start skimping on their needs, because who knows, maybe I'll need to have it on the side, etc. On the other hand, don't do it in a way, don't do it as a martyr. Don't do it in a way that I'm going to completely deprive myself of whatever I need in order to be able to do for them. Where to draw the line in between that? That's already individual and pretty much impossible to give clear lines for. But the attitude already can help in figuring out the lines. The attitude is that I want to see myself as a conduit of Hashem's goodness while making sure that I am able to comfortably do that. Okay. Now, the Chavis Alava says, on the other hand, he said, don't do it because you want the recognition, because you want them to owe you something, etc. Do it as a servant of Hashem. So now if you do that as a servant of Hashem, you actually will get those other benefits. He says, what will end up happening is, yes, people do appreciate a good person. People appreciate a kind person. Some people will take advantage. You have to learn how to contend with that also. It's part of putting those sticks in between. Like the pasuk initially that says, Hakol Reali Ishmaton. Everyone's friends with a generous person. But there's two ways of understanding that pasuk, both of which are true. One is a little bit of a cynical, right? The pasuk is like a cynical edge. If you're a generous person, everyone's going to want to be your friend. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, there's also just a very straightforward meaning of the pasuk, is that people will appreciate you. People will appreciate you and they'll look up to you. So the people will want to reciprocate in this world. When a person is constantly looking to spread kindness, he will be looked up to. He will receive that respect. He will receive the reciprocation. And ultimately, the real reward is waiting for him in Olam Haba. And this is like it says it, right? This is what we say every day. These are the things that you have the principle waiting for you in Olam Haba, and yet you're eating the fruit in this world. Gemilus Chasadim. Okay. Aval. Now we move on to the next part of this discussion. Aval afne bitchoina leleka binyani mishu lemala mimen or mishu lemata mimen. Now let's move from the general picture of having other people in your life to reality is where you have people above you and have people below you in society. If we just talk about a classic example, let's talk about employer-employee, right? The employer has people under him, the employee has someone over him, with all kinds of other examples. Teacher with students, leader, other situations. So you can have the people above you and the people below you. But so the attitude to take with these things is, let's say you need help from somebody who's above you. And to ask your employer for a favor, a raise, some time off. You need an employee to take care of something for you. So she tachval eloikov. So the attitude to take is, let's say again, you decide things are too tight right now. I need a raise. I go to my employer and I make my case, and now he's going to get back to me in 3 days. So he says, work on your mindset. Work on your attitude right now. And that is what? Shiv tachbay alelik. You have to go back to the bitachon mindset. Whether I should get that raise or not is Hashem's business. How I should get it is Hashem's business. I mean, this is not about the employer. It's not even about needing a raise, because you don't need the raise per se. Let's say Hashem decides that, I know you need the money. I know you need the money. So I'm going to make you get an inheritance that will cover you for the next 4 years. Yeah, you're planning on asking for the raise anyways. So why not ask for the raise? It's warranted. I'm going to ask for the raise anyways. Then you don't get it. You got it. Hashem said, this is not about the raise. I saw that you have the need, so I gave you the need in a different way than you were planning. So basically what he's saying is, you asked for the raise because you know you need those extra $2,000 a month, right? You know you need those extra $2,000 a month. Now go back and say, okay, I did my ishtadlis. This is the only means of ishtadlis that I see available. Okay. And now it's up to Hashem. Now, where does my boss come into the picture? My attitude towards him is that he is in this picture. In the same way, soil is in the picture if I'm a farmer. Meaning, I do my ishtadlis and I wait to see if Hashem is going to make the soil sprout forth. Meaning, if the ground doesn't produce, I'm not going to get mad at the ground. It's not up to the ground. So Hashem is going to decide if my food should come from the ground. And this is the attitude that I take toward my employer also. This is about Hashem. It's about me doing the ishtadlus. That's all. Now, will my relief come from there? Let's see what Hashem decides. But it's not up to the boss. It's not his decision. He is the soil here in this picture. Just like the soil, right? If Hashem decides, if the you planted the ground, that he wants you to get your food from there, so yeah, the food will produce, it'll yield its produce. You're not going to start kissing the ground and thanking it. You're going to thank Hashem with the ground being a mindless medium of Hashem bringing you the benefit.
Thank you. Not in the sense of like you're in his hands, but you do have.
That's right. You know, let's skip to where he gets to the name Shal instead of spending time in the Mashal, because they're making a good point. The Chumash Sofer has actually already touched on this earlier, but let's see. He says, "V'chein sheyivakesh me'echad me'em chayfetz." Sorry, you know, we'll talk it out meanwhile, and then we'll. His point is, don't see the employer as the decider of your welfare. Don't be emotionally invested in the employer. Hashem is the one who's going to decide. And if he decides that the employer should give you the raise, then like you said, you'd certainly have to thank him. There's certainly an issue of Derech Eretz. There's certainly an issue of Akras HaTov. But not with a sense of, this person is my savior. If he wasn't here, what would have been? Or with a feeling of, like we discussed this earlier, a certain desperation, a certain emotional dependence. Like my emotions, I have to put in a lot of effort into maintaining my favor with this guy because who knows, you know, in another 9 months, I'm going to need to ask for a raise again. No. You go about your work honestly and diligently without making sure to do all kinds of extra things to make sure that you are, you know, currying favor with the boss. You don't have to rush over as he's about to sit down and quickly brush off his seat so he should see how much you love him. Don't be emotionally invested in maintaining his favor. And also when it comes to the thanks, there's a difference between thanks as in Derech Eretz, as in recognition. You had goodwill toward me and I appreciate that. And thanks as in, you know, the bootlicking kind of desperate, wow, my life depended on you. So it's subtle, but he wants us to appreciate the subtlety. The one who gave it to you was Hashem. He passed it through the boss. The boss deserves recognition for the fact that Hashem decided to make him his medium. So now he says, V'chein k'shevakesh me'echad me'em chayfetz, she'yeh etzloi. So yes, if you need to ask somebody for that help, let's say again, it's your boss, you really need those extra $2,000 a month, ask your boss for the raise. So he says, first of all, she etzlei acholosh v'achazok mehem shoveh, asoysoy, yivtach b'ashlamos ha'elav v'kinispa. So first of all, he says, he's going to give us the whole picture now. First of all, when you ask the boss for the raise. So here, there can be a difference in your feeling. Let's say, for example, that your boss is a multimillionaire. Business is booming. There's plenty available. And if he just decides, it's really no big deal for him to just give you that raise. That's one feeling when you go to ask him for the raise. Now, let's say you know also that the business actually, your boss is not that multimillionaire at all. And the business is like most businesses, right? Like most small businesses. It's coming along, Baruch Hashem. You're not worried about being fired, but it's not like, now, can the boss actually come up with the raise or not? You know that things have been tight lately, right? So here, first of all, the Chacham Salvava says, a little bit of a tall order, but he says the feeling should be exactly the same. Because once again, I need the extra money. Hashem is going to decide whether I should get it or not. He wants me to do the Ishtadlis that I need to do. What's the only Ishtadlis available for me is to go ask my boss. So the Chacham Salvava first says, now I want you to feel the same. Whether the boss is a multimillionaire, don't feel like, oh, I haven't made, you know, he's been so friendly to me lately. Sure bet. Or if it's not simple at all that the boss can do it, he says, whatever the case is, in your mind, it should all be the same. I made my Ishtadlis, now Hashem's going to decide. That's number one. I made my Ishtadlis, now Hashem is going to decide. It's like this with all the different things. Let's talk in Eretz Yisrael terms. Okay. Let's talk in Eretz Yisrael terms. Protectia, right? Connections with some institution, something. Right? So there's gonna be a big difference if, let's say, you're friendly with the school's top supporter. Okay, and that top supporter really wants your kid in the school. Right? That's one thing. Or you can go to the guy who sits on the bench behind the principal in shul, and they have like a good Shabbos kind of relationship. Very questionable whether his word will mean anything at all, but he's willing to try. It's a very different kind of feeling. In the first case, you're a lot more confident. In the second case, it's like, well, who knows? So Chacham Salvava says, no, you should have the same exact feeling toward both. If I'm going to manage on that, it's up to Hashem. I did my Ishtadlis. Now, it's completely up to Hashem. The fact that this one has more pull and this one has less pull is not relevant. So that's number one. And then number two is, v'im yishlam al yidei echad mehem. And here's the point that you raised before. If the person does actually get the job done, let's say the boss gives you the raise. The other person goes and has to talk with the principal and your kid gets it. Okay? So the first thanks go to Hashem. Yeah, like you said before, this doesn't mean that you go and say, you were just a pawn. You had absolutely nothing to do with this. I don't owe you any thanks. No. Now you're going to go, say, let's say your boss, okay? You'll thank him for the fact that he had that goodwill. And the fact that Hashem chose him to be the medium of your benefit, that's also reason to look at him with respect. Hashem made him be, this is Hashem's representative toward me for this benefit. That itself is reason to show him respect. They said, we know the klal, Hashem chooses people he favors to be the ones to bring about his kindness. So therefore, you look at this person with respect because of the fact that Hashem chose him to be the one passing you the goodness. This really is the aside of the concept of kibbutz avim. This to a much, much greater degree. But that's the idea. The idea is, these are the people that Hashem put in my life as his main representatives. I see my father, I see my mother. I see these are Hashem. Hashem says, 80%, at least as you're growing up as a kid, of what you need from me, turn to them. They're my representatives. Ooh, that really warrants great reverence. But again, where did the good actually come from? You want to bear the perspective, to maintain the perspective that actually Hashem is the one who gave that good. And also, The other way around, the other side of the coin is that the imloyal ishlam loyal yideim, let's say it didn't end up happening. The boss refused the raise. He wasn't able to get you the raise, etc. Al yashimim. It's not about them. Don't fault them. Al yitle bohem kitzur. Don't say, oh, you couldn't get the job done right. Maybe if you would have, let's say in the case of the connections that you're trying to get, maybe if you would have asked differently, maybe you could have done it more passionately. Maybe you didn't really ask him with all your heart. No. Don't go there. This is not about them. If they didn't manage, if they didn't provide, they didn't deliver, then you do say they're irrelevant. And this is Hashem's decision. It goes back to the usual rules of bitachon. Hashem decided that this is not for me now. This is not for my benefit. And on the contrary, you owe them the same thanks if they tried and didn't manage. You owe them the same thanks as if they did actually get the job done. This is already a chiddush, right? If they actually, they managed. Of course, you have to thank them. He's saying, if they didn't manage, again, they're not the ones deciding whether it should work or not. Whether it works or not, that's Hashem. What are you thanking them for? Their desire to help you. Desire to help you. You owe them the same thanks if it didn't end up working out. Even though it didn't work out as you had hoped or as they had hoped.
So when you say thanks for trying, it's supposed to be the same as thanks for giving it?
So I'm not sure if I would mamish say the same, but let's at least say, only because I'm not sure, but at least almost the same. Meaning in terms of the attitude, all that's in their hands. The only thing you're asking of them in the first place is, can you make that attempt? You're not asking them to get it done because that's not part of their realm. Right, so what are you asking in the first place? Can you make the attempt? They made the attempt. That's what I'm thankful for. Maybe yes, to the same extent, but I'm not going to say that if I'm not sure if that's what he means. Okay, this has to be elaborated further, but okay, we'll stop here for this one.
What does
davening come into this equation? So yes, certainly. Whenever we're talking about ishtadlus, the attitude of ishtadlus is, Hashem's making the decision, but he wants me to do certain things toward it. One of the foremost things that he wants you to do toward it is ask him for it. And therefore, tefillah should always be viewed as a fundamental accompaniment to any kind of ishtadlus. So yeah, you made the appointment with the doctor, you asked the person to go into suit on your behalf, you put in the request for a raise. Now you take it back to Hashem and you say to Hashem, okay, I did mine, now I'm asking you to please help. Definitely.
Thank you.